Good morning and welcome to the WHTC Outdoor Show with your host, Tom Medendorf, the outdoor show for the whole family. This morning's show is being brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. Phone lines are open now. Call 395-1450. That's 395-1450. It's the WHTC Outdoor Show.
Good morning. Welcome to the Outdoor Show. This edition of the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville, Westonbrook Mower, Powderhorn Guns and Archery, and My Firearms ETS. You're listening to the Outdoor Show live right here on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown outdoor station. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 395-1450. I'm Tom Medendorp, and I'm here with Tim Blyenberg of Sheldon Meats, and we're talking about properly field dressing your game and recipes that we love. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 395-1450. How the heck are you this morning, Tim?
Good morning, Tom. Doing well.
You been busy?
Yes, getting
cutting
busy.
Cutting that meat?
Yep.
How about the early seasons? Did you see a lot of action on that? Did it look like it was a pretty successful season?
Yes, the early season has been very successful, especially with the youth hunt. Early doe season. It was only a couple day hunt, but it was very, very well. Both seasons has kind of been up and down with the weather and the wet weather and so on and so forth. And it was warm to start out, but it should be getting good here shortly.
It's looking like it's going to get good here shortly. I've seen a lot of pictures posted, you know, on a computer and so on. And it looks like people are becoming more successful as the weather gets a little cooler.
It is rut season.
This is true. This is true. It's the time. It's definitely the time. So, you know, we wanted to talk today about field dressing that game and making sure that things are set. We've done this a few times. Has mm-hmm. it made a difference when people bring the game in?
It's really hard to tell. When you have so many people come in, it's uh-huh. hard to tell. Most people do a pretty decent job okay. at field dressing their deer.
Okay. Sometimes I notice things and it's like, it'd be nice if they knew that.
Mm-hmm. The most proper way is just to try to keep your own venison clean. The cleaner that your carcass is after you're gutting out your deer will vastly improve the quality of your meat.
Oh, yeah. But do you get a lot of people, have they been taking the tenderloins out of the inside?
Some people do it themselves because they like to put it on their frying pan right away. Well, most people will keep them in for me to take out and package up for them.
Okay. I take them out because I'd rather have them nice and fresh because those are the only things that are exposed to air once the deer is field dressed mm-hmm. and the hide's still on it. It's the only thing exposed to air, and I just don't like them getting dried out.
That's right. That's right. The more tasty little morsels.
Well, yeah, and you know, I hear a lot of people talk about the tenderloins, and they're talking about the back straps.
Yep, that happens quite often.
Yeah, the tenderloins are actually on the inside of the back, behind the rib cage.
Toward the hindquarters, yes. Be careful when you're gutting your deer that your knife does not cut into those.
Otherwise
it happens quite often. You slice them up and try to pull that whole intestines out and so on and so forth. And instead of cutting it out so much, try to pull it so you don't ruin those tenderloins.
Yeah, once they get a hold of it.
Yep.
You know, we'll talk more about the exacts of how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when people come in and they want to get their deer cut up, you have like a list of things they can do with it. Right?
Absolutely, yep.
And then they choose. How do you ever know? Well, I want so many pounds of this, so many pounds of this, but I don't know the weight of the deer once it's butchered. How do people go about doing that?
Well, I can see by their deer basically after processing thousands and thousands and thousands of deer that this is pretty much of what you can get. I can come to a pretty close estimate.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm not going to weigh their deer and they're going to get somebody else's meat back. They're going to get all their own meat back.
Right, right.
But with their own meat, I can have a very good estimate of how much they are going to get back and how much they have options to do some smoked meats and salamis and snack mm-hmm, sticks and mm-hmm. so on.
Excuse me. Do you, when you set this up for folks, when they come in with their deer and they ask for different things, let's say with a salami, what's the percentage with the salami that's deer meat, and what's the extras, the stuff you put into the salami?
With the deer meat, I do about 85%, and then I'll put about 15% of 50% pork and 50% pork fat. So it's about a 50-50 mix.
And that 50-50 mix is about 15% of the salami.
Yes.
That makes it hold together better, stick together.
Yeah, it just holds it together. Venison is about 100% lean. I don't think like things that are overly dry and so on and so forth. Have a little bit of extra. It takes a gamey flavor out and adds a little bit extra flavor, you might say, to your venison, and it makes a good product. I just kind of play around with different recipes and different items to make sure I'm trying to give the best product back to the customer.
Okay. What about the burger? When I get it ground up to burger,
mm-hmm.
do many people ask for straight venison burger?
There are some that want straight venison. I would say the majority of people like a little bit of beef or pork fat added to their venison. Holds together better when you're frying it, and you don't need any butter or vegetable oil or something like that, because otherwise your bottom of your pan will burn, because venison is going to be almost 100% lean.
So oh, yeah.
You put a little bit of natural beef or pork fat into it, it helps improve. But everybody has their own preference of what they like, so it's up to the customer of what they want.
So let's say I was a customer coming in and I wanted to get some venison burger. I wasn't sure if I wanted to have the pork fat or the beef fat. What would you recommend?
I think both of them are very good. A pork fat will not last as long, you might say.
When you say last as long?
Pork breaks down a little bit faster, so if you have a venison with some pork fat in your freezer for 2 or 3 years, it probably won't taste as well after that much. A beef fat will last for quite some time in your freezer. Even though it's frozen, the pork, it tends to affect the flavor. But if you're going to eat it up within the next year, it should be just fine either way.
Look at that. I learned something else new.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize the pork fat would break down faster than the beef fat.
I didn't really realize it either. I just listened to different customers of what they say.
Oh, okay.
Myself, I like pork fat myself.
I thought maybe you learned that in butcher school. No butcher school.
Nope.
But you said you like the beef?
I like the pork fat.
Oh, you like the pork?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it, the difference? I mean, I like pork chops. I like pork, loin, things mm-hmm. like that. Does it really change the flavor of the venison much?
Not really. It doesn't change the flavor. It's if you want to make your own patties, it makes it hold together a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
A pork fat is a really soft, more of a greasy fat than a beef fat. Beef fat, when you grind it up, will have almost little chunks of fat throughout the meat. A pork fat is so soft that it basically infuses itself into the meat where you can't see chunks of fat throughout the meat.
Okay.
It changes the color of the meat from a dark red to almost a lighter pink.
Okay.
And the grease is still in there, but everybody has their own taste buds and personal preferences.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So that's why we give options.
Do you season the meat when you butcher it at all? Any of the meat? Is it seasoned?
I do not. There are some customers that like me to put bacon ends with their burger or some seasoning in with their burger as well.
Okay.
Most of the time, I do not season anything. People can season it as they wish when they cook it. But there are some people, especially bacon ends, there's quite a few people that have me put bacon in with their
those are like the
burger.
Takeoffs of after you cure the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end that you cut away.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take that, put it in with it, and grind it up. Does it give it the bacony flavor?
Yes, sir. Yep.
That's nice. We did that 1 year. We took venison, and then we put bacon, just had some bacon, tried it out, put it in there. We called it Venabacon.
Venabacon. That's right. That sounds really good.
Sounded good right now. I'm getting hungry thinking about it. The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Westonbrook Mower, where they service what they sell. All units are ready to use when they leave the store, and Westonbrook submits your warranty information so you don't have to. Stop into the Holland or the Genesis store, check them out on your computer at westonbrookmower.com, or call them at 616-396-5733. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, where we aim for safety. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply, the best you can find anywhere. Courses offered by My Firearms ETS are designed to provide you with the knowledge, the skill, and the correct attitude to use firearms safely in all environments and situations. The Deer Hunting Widows CCW course is November 15 and 16. Class sizes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot. 616-218-7328. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. I'm here this morning with Tim Blyenberg from Sheldon Meats, and we've been talking about food this early in the morning, and I'm one of those guys who likes to get up and have breakfast. I don't like to skip that. That's my favorite meal of the day.
Should we tell everyone about the wonderful idea we had during the break?
We could. We could. Somebody, our producer, came up with a great idea, and that's that we set up a little table here, and we put in we have a griddle.
Yep.
And we cook breakfast every morning while we're talking.
Yes.
And we can put the microphone over there so everybody can hear it sizzle, and then we can put pictures on the web.
This is a great idea. I don't see any problem with any step of that.
I don't either. I'm afraid Brent's going to, though.
Yeah.
Who's Brent?
Turn the radio off, Dad, if you're listening.
Shall we tell him? Anyway, the grease splattering on the window over there probably isn't a good idea. But that got me to thinking when we were talking during the break, because then you also mentioned the maple blueberry sausage. Breakfast sausage, and you know that we love it.
Mm-hmm.
My family loves the maple blueberry sausage that you make. And for the listeners, Tim makes this breakfast sausage that has maple syrup and blueberries in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome to have pancakes and sausage, especially when everything's got blueberries and maple syrup all over it. But the meat comes with it right in it. So I can get that out of that sausage and have my eggs, and I don't even have to have pancakes. And I get that. I like that. So I'm wondering, do people do venison in for breakfast sausages?
Absolutely. I've never tried to do the maple blueberry out of venison. I guess I would try it. But I do have a couple different venison sausage recipes that I offer for customers. I add a little bit of extra pork with it, breakfast sausage. So it's really cost efficient. If they want a pound of breakfast sausage or whatever they want for breakfast sausage, it's $1 a pound. So it's quite inexpensive, and then you can get your breakfast sausage with your venison as well.
And you can make that into sausage patties, or you can do it in a tube, right?
Yeah, I usually just do it in the tubes.
In the tubes.
Yep.
Do you think with what you add to it, there'd be enough fat or juice to make sausage gravy?
Yes.
Now I'm thinking sausage gravy and biscuits. And
venison, biscuits, and gravy. Tell you what, that's a perfect recipe for getting up at deer camp in the morning.
Oh, that would be awesome. Man. So if you got some leftover venison from last year and you want to get that made up before you head up to deer camp, they could give you a call.
Mm-hmm.
875-8598. Or I could give you a cell phone. No.
That's okay.
You take calls on the cell phone.
Sure.
Anyway. But 875-8598, or you can go over to Port Sheldon, or go to Sheldon Meats at just west of Port Sheldon, or just west of 72nd on Port Sheldon. Boy, that was a tongue twister for me.
That was close, sense. But man, you're getting there.
It's just west on the north side of the road. It's just west of 72nd on Port Sheldon, Sheldon Meats, and it's the only butcher I go to.
Why would you go anywhere else?
I don't know why I would, because I just don't.
I guess it depends on your location.
Well, you know what I haven't tried? The Valkenbrei.
Shame on you.
Yeah, but you don't make it all the times of the year, do you?
I try to, but it's hard to keep up with it.
Yeah, you don't always have it there because everybody wants to buy it as soon as you make it, right?
Yeah, especially this time of the year when the weather cools down. That is that's a Dutch treat for a lot of people.
You darn tootin' it is. I love Valkenbrei. That's awesome stuff. So, when we're talking about getting our deer ready and bringing it in order to maximize that deer, in order to get as much as we can out of it, most people just bring it to you, the deer, after field dressing. And field dressing, we'll talk about that in just a minute, but I'm kind of curious, do many people bring it already skinned out and parted, quartered, so to speak?
Not too many. There are a number of people that do it that way as well. They'll quarter it out, and they sometimes take me the back straps and tenderloins to vacuum seal up and package. Sometimes they just eat them up themselves and just take me the front shoulders and the hind quarters.
Okay.
And do whatever with it that they want. Make sausage or brats or or salamis or snack sticks. Sometimes people want a bunch of steaks or roast out of it as well.
Okay.
You know, it all depends on what you want to do with it.
Do you get a lot of people that do like we do and bring you a hind quarter and say slice it into steaks?
Absolutely.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
With the bone in it, I mean?
No.
No, then nobody wants
it. Most people like boneless nowadays.
Okay.
But
I don't mind that bone being in there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the dog likes it.
Oh, yeah.
But now, are there any key things that people want to remember when they're skinning it themselves that help for the flavor?
It's not so much skinning that helps the flavor. I would say when it's cool out is if you can get the hide off fairly soon, it would be better than keeping the hide on for quite a long time. That would be my personal preference.
For what reason? Because you know I like to leave the hide on for a good 6 days to let it age. And I find it to be better to my liking when I do that. For what reason do you suggest getting the hide off sooner?
It all depends on what you want to do with it. If you want to let it age for 6 or 7 days, I would recommend maybe to keep it in a hide on because it ages faster with the hide off. But if you want to cut your deer up soon, within a day or two, take the hide off and get it good and cooled off right away. And I think that'll help you out.
Okay. So leaving the hide on ages makes it a little more tender. Another thing that I noticed and why I asked for what reason, if I have a deer that I skin right away because the weather's too warm, the hide comes off much easier.
Definitely.
If I wait 6 days and then I take the hide off, the hide comes off a lot more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
To get that off of there. And you kind of cut with it as you go down. You can't just pull.
That's right. That's right.
Unless you got one of those chain hoists with a hook on the floor.
Kind of like I have?
Yeah. That works a little easier. Goes a little faster. So we got different things that people can do. What we're going to talk about when we come back, after we take the next break, we're going to talk about getting that field dressing done correctly so that we don't taint the meat. And then we're going to talk about cleaning it out and different options to keeping it clean after the field dressing process. And then temperatures for storing, whether you got the hide on or whether you don't have the hide on, and what you're going to do at what temperature before bringing it to the butcher. So we're gonna go over that stuff here in just a little bit after we take the next break. The Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville has what you need. They carry over 40 different seeds for your wildlife food plots, plus many pre-mixed, pre-bagged food plot blends like G2, Northern Edge, and Tecomate. That's just to mention a few. The Farmers Co-op also has a full line of bagged fertilizers, including Triple 12 and 19, 62424, Potash, and Urea for your food plot growing needs. Also, check out the Farmers Co-op for minerals and attractants. They've got Lucky Buck, BB2, Appalicious, and carrots and sugar beets that are in season. They've got you covered for all your fall hunting needs. Stop into the Farmers Co-op at 3302 Prospect Street in Hudsonville for a complete list of products and services. Check them out online at fcelevator.com. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery for all your arrow-knocking, gun-cocking, fish-hooking, flag-waving, stand-up-and-sink, God Bless America hunting and fishing needs. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We're back, ready to answer your questions right here on The Outdoor Show.
That's better than a strong cup of coffee to get you up in the morning, isn't it?
It is. It's awesome. I just love it.
That is really cool.
We could just loop that for an hour, that 30-second Stars and Stripes. Just have that for the whole hour.
Have it keep going. Have it keep going.
You can have the same experience if you just go visit Tim over there.
Yeah,
this
right.
This is
a great guy.
This is true.
And every time you walk into a shop, you'll want to just salute to him and say, Tim, you're such a great guy. You do such a great job. I just want to salute you.
Well,
he's America.
He's gone so much. I'd have plenty of time to do this. What I should do is I should get that and hook up a switch to the door so that it runs when you walk through the door. It takes off and starts playing. So then when he walks in the door, he's going to go, whoa!
I would rather just do a prank on them than something nice.
Well, this is true. This is true. We like to harass Tim. But you got to get on down there to the Powderhorn, and you got to check out the stuff that Tim's got there. He's got stuff for your fishing needs or your hunting needs, and he's got some really great stuff to help you out with when you got questions on things. He'll take care of getting your bows tuned up and everything else, your crossbows taken care of. It's just he can take care of all that stuff for you.
Even if Tim's not there, they have a very good staff, and they're very, very helpful, and that is a great shop to go to. I would recommend going there versus anywhere else.
That's good. That's good. Now, you know Tim's not listening, right?
Probably not. That's okay.
You didn't have to say that. No, no, I'm sure he listens. He likes to listen to the podcast when he's not here, just to see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
See how much we harassed him, I think.
That's good. That's good. We should keep it up then.
Well, we have to keep it up. I mean, he got all that pork from that pig.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tim is such a nice guy. He gave probably half of it away. And then ate the other half.
You know why he gives it away? Because he has a good excuse. Says, honey, we don't have any meat in my freezer. I need to go on another hog hunt. And then he can go. Otherwise,
we don't have any left. How, we just had pounds and pounds of it. How come we don't have any left? I don't know. We ate it all.
That's right. Have to go hunting again.
Yep. That's, I never thought of that. That's a good excuse.
Oh, yeah.
Freezer's empty. Got to go hunting. Plenty good. We said we were going to talk about dressing the deer, field dressing the deer. And, of course, there's a lot of people out there that have never field dressed a deer. And there's a lot of people that go deer hunting and have no one to help them. So they got to try to figure it out by videos or by listening to radio shows and things like that. Or and then when they got to dig in, sometimes they look at it and they say, what do I do? When you first go to dress the deer and skin it out, What do you do? What's your first step? You know, if it's a buck or a doe, there's a difference. We understand that. But what kind of things do we have to watch out for?
It's really quite easy. You just want to put the deer on its back and take your knife, and you don't want to just stick your knife into the stomach of the deer, you might say, because you'll open up the...
I call that the gut sack.
Yeah.
It holds all the stuff.
All the intestines, yeah. Stuff like that. You don't want to open that up, because that'll open up, and whatever's inside the stomach of that deer will go inside the cavity, and it's kind of rank. So you just want to just get under the first layer of skin and bring your knife all the way up to the chest cavity. And once you get things open, you can kind of reach in to the throat area and cut
that
out.
That first opening, of course, if it's a male deer, we have to take the genitals off.
Mm-hmm.
And right there gives you an opening in the skin to get your fingers underneath.
Yep.
When you go to bring your knife up to cut up to the chest cavity, meaning if you feel your own rib cage right where the two sides come together at a point there, that's where we want to go to right up the sternum, right?
Yep.
I usually tell people the smaller the knife, the better, because the big knife, it ends up cutting things that you don't want to. I also put my finger out to the tip of the knife when I'm going to go underneath the hide so that my finger rides against that gut sac, so to speak, but holds it all together. And then the blade does the slicing underneath. Because you can't really... A lot of people talk about using a gut hook. Well, a gut hook works when you flow with the hair.
Mm-hmm.
The hair is going from front to back. And you use that gut hook, it seems to get jammed up. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that. I do the exact same thing you do. Once I get my initial slit, I actually get both of my fingers underneath the hide of the deer. And then I can kind of pull up at the same time, so it pulls away from that stomach cavity, and I'll run my knife.
So you put your left hand in there with, like, your two fingers with the peace sign underneath there to hold it, and that holds that skin up, and then as you move together...
Kind of pull the skin up so you don't puncture anything and just ride your knife all the way up to the chest cavity, and then you can make your initial slit all the way up.
Because I've seen it where people go too deep right away, and then everything that what comes out of the intestines, one, it smells terrible.
Yeah.
But whatever it touches, whatever it gets on, it taints that meat.
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets in there, it leaves a flavor behind, and that's not good.
Yeah. Not only a flavor, but a smell. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nasty. So that meat has to just get cut away.
You can't always avoid it, because sometimes a deer is gut shot. So that is opened up already.
Yep.
If you have a deer that's gut shot, you want to spray it out. Just get some cold water and spray it out after you're done field dressing your deer when you get it home or whatever. But it's not even necessary really to spray your deer out and clean it all up and do all this necessary stuff. If you do a good job in the first place, that natural blood in there is fine.
So
you don't need to spray it out.
Yeah, we don't have the gut shot. We got a good shot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we get up to the sternum there, at that point, how do you take that, what I call the gut sack, out? What's your process?
I reach up as far as I can with my left hand and take a hold of the windpipe. And then I'll reach in with my right hand with my knife and cut that off. And then that's attached to all of your intestines. And you can pull that windpipe back. And basically, you can pull everything out all at one time. Sometimes you have to take your knife to the edges of the stomach and so on and stuff there where it's attached, but it's quite easy sometimes to pull everything out all at one time.
So when you once you get that slit all the way up to the sternum, then you got to slide between that gut sac and the rib cage with your hands, get them up in there, one with the knife in it, and then if you take that windpipe and come down, that windpipe is holding on to lungs, heart, all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
vitals that are outside that gut sac. That'll take it all as you pull down, and where I found it tends to grab the hardest or be the hardest to pull loose is right along the spine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, when we were talking about the tenderloins, we got to be careful not to hit those tenderloins when we're trying to cut things loose in order to roll it out of there.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the removing it, the final removal down in the butt area, where you got to actually get the intestines, the large intestine, to remove without spilling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use one of those butt plug things, they call it, that they stick in there, give it a twist, and it hooks
I think that they work. I've never used one myself. Nope.
Okay. I usually just take and cut around the exit hole,
mm-hmm.
and then that can be pulled out and tied if you want to. Or you can pinch it and slide it through, not spilling anything, slide it back to the inside to get it out.
Yep.
How do you usually do that?
That's exactly the way I do it
as well.
You
do the same thing. Okay.
Yep.
And then you might get a little tainted meat right around that area on those hindquarters, but I just trim that away.
Yeah.
And before it gets to where it soaks in, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But hardly ever do I have anything spill there.
No. Nope.
Now, so you don't take... I've seen people take their knife, put it on the pelvic bone, and then hammer the knife with the other hand to crack that pelvic bone. But I remember someone borrowing my knife once and putting a chip in the tip of my knife, so I had to resharpen everything. They actually chipped it away, so that took a while to get it back to nice.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too. It does not hurt to do that if you have a small little hacksaw or a little hatchet, sometimes a little hatchet, and you can just pop
right in the center of that pelvic
right in the
bone.
Center of the two back legs, and you can pop that open, and then it'll create a hole there that you can pull everything out.
Take everything up out of there without having to spill it all.
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen that done. I found that was more difficult. I didn't want to carry the hatchet along with the knife, because I carry a small knife.
Mm-hmm.
Last year I got it, I did with my pocket knife. I shot it, the kids were there, and we're looking at the deer, and I said, you know what I forgot my regular skin or my gutting knife, one of the boys that was with my son, and he goes, well, what are you going to do? And I reached in my pockets. Oh, I got my old timer. He goes, you're kidding. I says, no. And he watched me do the whole thing with that pocket knife. I think that works. The smaller the blade, like if it's the length of my index finger,
mm-hmm.
that blade, I could put it with my index finger. Everything I do, it's like taking my finger and doing all the cutting that way. I can feel everything, and I don't get into other stuff as I'm removing it. So we don't want the meat tainted. We get that out of there. Now we've got the deer, and what I've seen before happen, I watched some hunters one time. They got done gutting a deer. They took it to a lake. They took it out of the truck. They put it in the lake. They stood there knee-deep in water and sloshed it around in the lake and then put it back in the truck. Any comment on that? Because I kind of felt it was crazy.
That's not probably a good idea. There's plenty of bacteria and stuff into a lake that is going to go into your meat. You know, just use some fresh water when you get home and spray it out. If you did a good clean job of gutting your deer, you don't need to do anything. You don't have to have any water into it. It'll be fine.
typically that's you know, when we take care of our deer, there's blood inside that chest cavity that's pooled in there. After we pull everything out, we take that and just use that to wash down, and it kind of creates, would you call it a scab?
Yeah, a scab inside. Or a film once it dries up.
It's more like
it
a film.
It helps protect, actually.
Yeah.
It does a good job.
Keeps from any bacteria entering into the meat while it's waiting to be skinned and processed. And we usually do that to make sure that it's nice and clean. So you kind of agree with that. If you don't have things that you have to wash out with the water, use the blood to take care of it.
And absolutely,
Keep it as it was before.
Yeah, it's all natural.
Excellent, excellent. The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland with competitive prices and personalized service to meet all your needs. Repair, storage, winterizing, parts, and more. Call Advantage Marine in Zeeland and ask about the storage options at 616-748-9235 or stop in to see Dave at 8755 Riley Street in Zeeland. That's at the corner of 88th and Riley on the northeast side of Zeeland. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, where we aim for safety. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply, the best you can find anywhere. Courses offered by My Firearms ETS are designed to provide you with the knowledge, the skill, and the correct attitude to use firearms safely in all environments and situations. Women's only personal protection course is on November 15 and 16. Class sizes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot, 616-218-7328. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. We don't have a lot of time on our last segment, but we still have time for some phone calls. And we have been talking about different options for butchering your deer. I'm talking with Tim Blyenberg from Sheldon Meats. And we talked about the different options for getting your deer cut up. Then we talked about getting your deer skinned out properly so that you don't have tainted meat. You want to have it taste good. And, of course, it all begins, we didn't talk about this, but it all begins with a good, clean, humane shot, one that dispatches the deer quickly so that it doesn't have to suffer at all. Because I am a firm believer in if we have a bad shot, so to speak, and the deer is in distress, I think that it pumps adrenaline or other natural chemicals that the deer produces into that meat or into that blood system, which then taints the meat flavor-wise. Have you ever found anything that would back that up, Tim?
I think it's very possible. It doesn't happen all the time, but
most,
it's very
most
possible.
Everybody that I know, they practice with their guns, or they're mm-hmm. prepared, they make good, clean shots. But there's always that occasion that something happens that makes the deer stressed.
Yeah, not everybody's perfect, and sometimes a deer is running. You can't always make a perfect shot, but it is what it is, right?
It is what it is. If you think about it, you know, get out to the range. Practice shooting your gun. Don't just say, oh, well, I hit the bullseye, so I'm good to go, off from a bench rest at a bench. You're not sitting at a bench. You don't have a bench rest. The deer's not standing still. You need to practice with your gun so you're comfortable with it. And that brings me to the fact that Chickawa Sportsman's Club has sight-in days coming up. You can go to chickawa.com to check out the sight-in days, and that's chickawa.com. You go to chickawa.com. And I believe the first sight-in day, I'm just looking here real quick. I think November 2, next Saturday, first mm-hmm. sight-in day. And then it'll be on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, November 9, Tuesday, Thursday, and then, of course, the Friday after that is the 15th, and that's opener for gun hunting.
So you have some good days to practice up a little bit before gun hunting starts.
Yeah.
But the thing is, nice to be able to practice up for gun hunting. You have to be able to practice to make good recipes on how to cook your venison as well, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's why we're here. You don't have to practice. Just listen to us, and you don't have to do any practice. You can just go at it.
So, what is your favorite recipe?
I have many favorite recipes. I'm not picky with what I eat. I just like to eat.
Well, I'll tell you what I really love to do is I love to take the hindquarters. Like I brought you a hindquarter after we had froze it so that you could slice it up, make nice steaks out of mm-hmm. it, nice big ones actually. I take those hindquarters, but I'll take a whole hindquarter, and that whole hindquarter, well, Actually, we'll take a call first, and then I'll finish about that whole kind quarter. We got somebody online?
We do. Good morning, Doug. You're on the air.
All righty. I missed the first part, fellas, but I wanted to know what you did with my meat once it's down by you, you know, with a hide on it. What's your first thing you do?
First thing you do, Tim, when the hide when he brings in the deer to you?
What I'll do is the day that you take the deer in, I will skin your deer out and put it in the cooler and age it for a couple days usually, not very long, and then I'll process it any way you like. I do everything as a boneless cut. I'll vacuum seal your meat, but I'll go through all the cuts and all the different parts of the deer and get it processed the way you like. If you'd like it to age it for a little bit longer, I'll do that as well.
Does that actually answer the question, or I might be able
to... No, not quite, but... Okay. Sounds like a whole lot better than when I walk into a place and I see 30, 40 of them laying in a heap waiting to get skinned. And then I ask the guy, is this all going to be my meat? And he says, yes, everything except the hamburg. We do hamburg different. We throw a bunch of meat in, a couple hundred pounds, and then you get your share of that back out.
Well, that should not be the case. Sometimes I will get 100 deer in a day. And Yes. And they are laying in a heap, you might say, but it's cool outside. If it's not cool outside, I'll put them in the cooler first before skinning. But quite often, if you get 100 deer in a day, you have a hard time finding a place for them. So they kind of lay in a heap, and as you skin them, they keep on getting in the cooler. But every single deer that I do is tagged with a number, and your number's on the tag. So you get your own deer meat back, and whether you have 50 pounds of burger or 5 pounds of burger from your deer, I will grind all of your deer meat separate for your burger, so you will get your own meat back.
Okay, you do grind your own ground meat back.
Yes.
But that's what I want to know, because, you know, I see a lot of guys marinating these deer on the front of a hood and all the way from the UP, and I'm wondering how much oil it takes to make good venison. Thanks, fellas. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, appreciate the call. It is a big difference from a UP shot deer versus a deer shot down here. That's why every single deer, I will make sure that you get your own meat back. And even if it's only a couple pounds of burger, there's a big difference in your deer versus somebody else's deer.
Yeah, and well, we talked about it during one of the breaks. There's a huge difference between a corn-fed deer down here and an acorn-fed deer up north.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely tell the difference.
Absolutely.
But we got like 2 minutes, so I'll tell you what I do with that. And thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. And anyway, the hind quarter, I'll take the hind quarter, and of course it's frozen. So what I do is I take the hind quarter, put it on a big old baking sheet, one that fits just in the oven, because so, the hind quarters are pretty good size. And I'll put it on that baking sheet. I'll put little slices out of a butter stick. I'll put slices all over it so the butter is on top of the hind quarter. I'll put fresh onions and fresh garlic, fresh green peppers, and you can put anything you like on it, really. But I like to use all fresh stuff and cut up pieces of garlic and everything else. And I'll put that all over the top with the butter. And then I'll take and wrap that, because I've got tin foil underneath it. I'll wrap that tin foil over top of it. I'll put it in the oven. Now, this is, say, on Friday night. I'll put it in the oven, and I'll run it up to about 175 degrees. Not hot, but it's cooking all the way through that way.
Mm-hmm.
It runs all night long. I let it go at the 175 degrees. Then on the next morning, I'll boost it up to like a 400 or 450, just to superheat it for a little while. Then when I take it out, that tinfoil is all still wrapped around there. Well, what I did is I made a stainless steel spit for the fire. And I take and I run that stainless steel spit through there over the fire and keep all those onions and peppers around it, and I rotate it on that over the fire. Then when we peel it open with all the onions and peppers, we keep that over into another bowl, and then I put the hind quarter back over the fire for a little while, open, getting cooked. And all that butter's in there and dripping, and it's really, really, makes you hungry. But we slice it for hoagies.
Nice. It sounds real good.
It's awesome. Then you put your onions and peppers on there. Thank you for listening and participating in this week's show. We'll talk to you again next week right here on WHTC, Holland's hometown outdoor station.
Thanks for joining us this morning for the WHTC Outdoor Show with your host, Tom Medendorp, the outdoor show for the whole family. Today's show has been brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. If you missed today's show or you'd like to hear it again, go online for the podcast at WHTC.com and join us next Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for the WHTC Outdoor Show on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.